you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sing it now.
Well, good evening, and we're so glad to see you back this evening in this nice Florida weather. And for you who have filled out a visitor's card or you're doing it right now, you get to put those in with a couple large bills in the offering plate here in a few minutes. I'm sounding like Ray, ain't I? Yeah. You call Kevin a turkey? Okay. Yeah, Lord blessed us this morning and blessed us all day long, and we're back here to worship Him again. Amy will be bringing a song to us here in just a few minutes. But just keep in mind what's going on this next week. We will not have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We've backslid. No, I take that back. We have not backslid. We're having Tuesday night because it is Thanksgiving week, and we're having a special Thanksgiving service. This is where you get to preach to me. You get to tell how good God has been to you this past year. And hopefully you're doing it all year, but this is it's a special service for me. It's just one of the best because I get to hear your hearts. And we allow you to go at least 6 minutes. Just thought I'd throw that in there. You know, my mama, she was a talker. And if she got going, she could go, she could preach you a message or two, you know, while she's giving her testimony. But that was my mama. And I can say things about my mama, but you can't say things about my mama, right? That's right. It's the way we live around here. But for all of you who are visiting, we're so, so glad to have you. And you're in for a little treat tonight. I told people this morning, I had a little surprise. Didn't tell them what. I like surprises, don't you? Well, sometimes. Sometimes surprises aren't all that good, but this one is a good surprise. It's good to see Ray back with us tonight. Ray, God bless you, son. Think of you a lot. Ray and I have something in common. We're both the same age. No, I think he's 2 months older than me. Are you January? What's your birthday? Oh, April. Yeah, you're much older than me. Just kidding. But anyway, we're going to receive our offering this time. But don't forget that Tuesday evening now. That's the biggest thing going. Next Sunday, we're beginning the Advent Sundays. And so that'll be the first one of the Advent Sundays. So from there on through Christmas, we'll be doing a special music and a special reading each Sunday morning. So don't forget that. It's important. Looking forward to Thanksgiving, but I'm looking forward to Christmas too. I just love it, love it, love it. If our ushers would come forward to receive our evening offering. It's so, so good to be back here and have the opportunity to give back to the Lord again. And Tom, would you bless this offering, please? Yes, Lord. Yes. Lord, we thank you for that. You have been so good to us, Lord. Thank you for everything, everything that you've done. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Get me twice, wouldn't you,
Chris,
brother?
Tom.
No. You'll never replace Chris, brother. Now, if you're washed in the blood, you'll have no trouble singing this next song. Are you bound for the promised land? Let's sing about it. It's on page 376. 376. Let's stand as we sing this song together. First, second, and fourth verse. I'm bound for the promised land.
On Jordan's stormy banks, stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All wide extended plain shines one eternal day. There cried the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy shore and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. Come on up here, Sam.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way.
I like to be hungry because that means I can eat more when I'm hungry, you know. And if we hunger for him like we ought to be hungry for him, we can eat a whole lot more. Right? Just get into his word and worship him. I'm going to say a few things about some people who are here. Kevin, you're here?
Yes, sir.
Kevin Colwell, we're glad to have you, buddy. See, I questioned him out there as to how you say that, because I've heard so many people say Colball different ways. Colball, Colball, K-ball, 8-ball. but in many ways. Kevin, we're so glad to have you with us. And Preacher Ray Colball, I guess that's said the same way since you're all in the same family, right? And Mary... Where's Mary? There's Mary. She introduced herself as Mary, and I thought that sounds like she said, "I'm married." And then I introduced her to Richard as Mary the Married. Mary, just kidding, Mary. I knew I could have fun with you, so I am. I take that privilege. And then Barbara. Hi, Barb. And then blue dress.
What?
Well, I told you we had a little surprise tonight, and we do. Nick, come on up, buddy. Nick Cobalt's going to be bringing a message tonight. He's going to be giving you his testimony from the Word of God. Isn't that good stuff? Now, I do want to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't get too close.
Okay.
We do want to invite all of you who are visiting tonight to come back Tuesday night, if you would. And it's going to be a special Thanksgiving service. You get to hear everybody who wants to, you know, not we don't push it, but everybody who wants to. And by the way, about everybody does, because God's been so good to us. If you were here this morning, you heard a song that just absolutely thrilled our hearts, didn't you? Yeah. Boy, was it good. Because it told how good God's been to us. And I can't wait to tell people how good God's been to me. And Lene, glad to have you, honey. And I know that this man has to say, I am so thankful for Lene. God is good. And we hope that you'll come back and visit with us again if you're just visiting tonight. And for you who are supposed to be here, thank you for being here too. Nick Coldball. I love you, buddy.
This is your water, by the way. Okay, good deal. Okay. Dan kept talking about a special surprise tonight, and I had no idea what he was talking about. I'm still waiting on it because I don't know what it is, okay? But we're going to be over in 1 Kings tonight, chapter 18, starting in verse 41. 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 41. And it's good to have my papaw here, Preacher Ray, and good to have my dad here, Kevin, and Mary, and my mom, April, and my Mimi here with us tonight. And people always get confused on which Kobach is which, so I just tell people that I am the Kobach with hair. And that narrows it down very, very good and pretty quickly, okay? But kids over to Virginia after church this morning, Lene made a friend over there, and it was her little daughter's birthday, so we took our kids over there for a birthday party, and we saw that we were running late coming back, so we had to call in the in-laws because they live about 5-10 minutes from our house, and they went and picked up a suit for me and things like that, and my mother-in-law picked out the colors. I think she did pretty good, but I was kind of offended when my father-in-law picked out a thing of deodorant to put in my suit, so I guess he was worried about what we would smell like tonight, but it is good to be up here tonight, thankful to get up here and just share a little bit about God's Word and listen tonight. I cannot do anything tonight. None of this is of me. None of this is coming from me. I'm dependent on God, I'm dependent on Jesus, and I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit tonight. Because if you're waiting on me for a blessing, you're going to be waiting here for a very, very long time because I can't give you one. But that can come directly from God tonight, so I'm thankful for that. But just to give you a little bit of background about me and Lene's been married for almost 10 years, and I've been preaching for almost 10 years. And last church I was pastor at, I preached my last sermon there on May 15th. And to tell you what kind of place that I was in, I was just ready completely to give up on church and never come to church again. And I'm not going to lie to you tonight. I didn't want to get out of bed. But I'm thankful that I had a godly wife that got my hind end out of bed one Sunday night. She said, "We're going to church."
Amen.
Now that may not sound like a lot, but I don't know if I'd have ever got back in church if it wasn't for her. And I ain't saying that just for fluff speech or anything like that, but I was ready to quit and I was ready to give up. So, Lene, thank you for lighting a fire under my hind end, okay, so we could get back up here and get in church, all right? And I'm very thankful for her tonight. She is a great helpmate, and love her deeply tonight, okay? But 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 41, I'm going to read verses 41 through 46, then we'll share a little bit of what God has laid upon our hearts and upon our minds tonight, okay? And the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Dad, I'm going to ask you to pray for me tonight, okay? Amen. Before we get in this tonight, too, I got to mention my daughters. I forgot to mention my daughters, and I can't do that. But Ellie and Addie, Ellie's going to be 3 on January 29th, and Addie's going to turn 2 on June the 11th. And this is the way you know them apart. Ellie's the oldest, so she's a little bit taller and wears glasses, and Addie's the smaller one. But this is the way that we have, you know, that they've got a little bit of me and their mom in them and their grandparents and things like that. But the best way, if you want love and cuddles, you go to Addie, because she will love and cuddle anybody. She loves to love and she loves to cuddle. Now, if you need backup for a fight, you go to Ellie, because Ellie is the one that you want. Because with her looks, you automatically win, okay? She's got these looks, all right? But thankful for tonight, and the thought that God has laid upon my heart and upon my mind is the drought is over. The drought is over. Now, to set this into context, we all know about the battle at Mount Carmel when Elijah prayed to God and God sent down the fire, and how he went up against the prophets of Baal and Ahab, and Jezebel was after him and things like that, because Elijah was a man of God. Listen, if you are a man or a woman of God, Satan is after you tonight. He's not after the lost, because he already has the lost, but he's after the Sunday night crowd, the Wednesday night crowd, the Sunday school crowd, the born-again believers, the one that Tom was talking about this morning, the ones that have put on the whole armor of God. The devil is after them like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I'm thankful tonight, praise God, that the roaring lion that the Bible refers to as Satan roaming around seeking whom he may devour, I'm glad that that big almighty roaring lion was defeated by a lamb. And that lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ. And how thankful that we all can be for that. So during this time, there is a drought. Elijah prayed for a drought. And at this moment in time, there has been a 3.5-year drought. Now, I want you to think about that just for a second. No rain for 3.5 years. What would the produce section look like at the grocery stores? What would the meat section look at like at the grocery stores? Listen, cows and pigs, all them, I love bacon more than anybody. But if that pig ain't got no water to drink, there ain't going to be no bacon in the grocery stores. Drought. You look at early civilizations, and I love history, and I get to teach history at work, and how thankful I am for that. Ancient China, ancient Mesopotamia, ancient Babylon, Egypt, ancient India, all these ancient civilizations, they all started because there was rivers right next to them. They all started because of those rivers flooding and things like that. In other words, water was a life source to early civilization. And I tell you right now, we think we're in the year 2022 and things changed. I will say this, not much has changed. We still need water to live. So you imagine, and God could do it. God can do anything. God can say, you know what? I'm going to strike the United States of America with 3.5 years drought. And I'll be honest with you, He has every reason to. Every reason known to mortal man, God could say, USA, drought for 3.5 years. You can't get water anyway. But you know what? Through His love, through His grace, through His mercy, He hadn't saw fit to do that, and I'm thankful for it. Even though that He has every right to. So for 3.5 years, it has not rained. So the contest at Mount Carmel has just taken place, and God has shown that Baal and the prophets of Baal were false. They were fake. They were phony. They were nothing. They were nobodies. The one and only true God answered, and the fire came down, and the prophets of Baal have been defeated. But also, if you look in verse 40, it says, "And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishron and slew them there." So even the followers of Baal, they were all slaughtered right then and there. And you might say, well, that's awful violent and that's awful mean. Listen, they were standing up against God. They were standing up against God. They got what they deserved. And I want to say this tonight, I'm thankful that I didn't get what I deserved. I deserved a sinner's hell. I'm unworthy to be up here and preach and proclaim the Word of God. I'm unworthy to have the job that I have. I'm unworthy to have the two little girls that I've got. I'm unworthy to have the family that I have. I'm unworthy to have a church like this to come and worship in. But because of God's sovereign grace, because of God's endless love, praise God, because of His mercy, because of His compassion, praise God, that He has on every single one of us tonight, we're unworthy in the flesh, but praise God, tonight we're worthy through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, praise God, that was shed at Calvary. I stand in nothing but the blood, but praise God, that's all I need tonight. Hallelujah. Is the blood, that's all I need. It makes us worthy. So here it was, Ahab, one of Elijah's greatest enemies. And we get to verse 41, and I love this. "And Elijah said unto Ahab," he's talking to one of his greatest enemies. How many of you like Rocky movies? I was raised on Rocky movies. I think I was in kindergarten and I saw Rocky take down the Russian, and I loved every second of it. But imagine Rocky going up and talking to that Russian before the boxing match. That didn't happen. They's in their separate locker rooms. Now, I love Tennessee football, and I know we laid an egg last night, but I'm just going to use this as an example to make it real for you. One of Tennessee's biggest, the University of Alabama. Praise the Lord, we beat them this year, didn't we? And I don't mean that inappropriate, but I did get a little excited over that, okay? Any Alabama fans here, I apologize, all right? But imagine if, during halftime or something like that, imagine if Hendon Hooker went over to Alabama's locker room and told the Alabama quarterback, "Hey, this is what our defense is going to do the second half. I just thought you'd want to know that." How often do we talk to our enemies? Takes a special person, takes a special Christian to talk to your enemies. Then I got to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter cut off the ear of one of the soldiers? Man, I love that. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Peter was willing to defend and protect the Lord Jesus Christ, but what did Jesus do? He picked up the ear and placed it back on him. And then you look at the cross of Calvary after Jesus had been beaten half to death and he was unrecognizable on the cross of Calvary. Do you know what he did? He looked at his enemies and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, what do we do as humans? And I'm as guilty as anybody. Somebody gets mad at me or I've got an enemy, I'll run away or I'll talk about them behind their back or anything like that. Listen, that's not of Christ. God called us to be a separate people. Jesus called us to be a separate people, praise God. The Holy Spirit calls us to be a separate people. And you may be here tonight and say, well, I've got this one enemy at work. I just don't get along with them, and I just get away from them whenever I can. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. You might be the only Jesus they ever see. You might be the only Jesus that your enemies ever see. Now, I'm not saying get in with your enemies and live how they're living life and things like that. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But we're living in a day and a time where church people say, well, I want to see the lost get saved. Well, do you talk to the lost? Do you witness to the lost? Do you invite people to church? Do you invite people to Sunday school? Do you pray with them and things like that? And listen, this is as much for Nick Kaulbach as it is for anybody else tonight. I'm preaching to myself tonight, and I hope you all get something from this too. But listen, anybody can say, well, I would love to see the lost get saved. Well, what are we doing about it? Anybody can say that, but what are we doing about it? And you'll find out a lot of times in life, your enemies as Christians that's lost. Somebody that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, show them Jesus every time that you get a chance. They may cuss you. They may talk about you behind your back. They may backstab you. They may run you down. They may run your family down. They may start rumors. They may start lies. They may say gossip. They may like to report what's going on in your life. Can you believe Nick did this? Or can you believe this person did that and things like that? Praise God. Walk up to them and say, hey, you know what? I may have done it, but it's under the blood. I asked God to forgive me, and He did. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And if you can, praise God, let me tell you a little bit about Jesus tonight. Praise God. It's what it means to be a Christian and how thankful that we can be for that. Elijah is talking to his enemy. Then he gives his enemy some advice. Now, if I would have been Elijah, Elijah knows the rain's coming. If I'd have been Elijah, I wouldn't have said anything. Just me in my selfish way. Ahab's after me. Jezebel's after me. They want me killed. They want me dead. I wouldn't say nothing to Ahab. But this shows how humble that Elijah was. He didn't see himself any better as Ahab. We don't need to see ourselves any better as anybody else, because we're nothing. We're nobody tonight without Jesus Christ. So he said, get thee up and eat and drink. So he told Ahab, Ahab, get you something to drink. Get you a nice ice cold Dr. Enough and a Sonny Fletcher's hot dog. Eat up and drink up. The rain is coming. If you don't know what a Sonny Fletcher's hot dog is, you can't get one no more because he retired. And they don't taste as good anymore. No offense, no defense against the man up there on Stony Creek, but they just don't taste as good anymore. But you can still get a Dr. Enough. I love Dr. Enough too. So you're getting a chance to know me tonight. My family, Tennessee football, and Dr. Enough's. That's all I need, okay? All right. Ahab, get you something to eat and get you something to drink. Then I got to thinking about us tonight. As Christians, we need spiritual food every single day. If you're only relying on getting spiritual food on Sunday morning, you ain't going to make it. If you're only relying on getting spiritual food on Sunday night, you ain't going to make it. If you're only relying on getting spiritual food on Wednesday nights, you ain't going to make it, praise God. You need spiritual food and drink every single day of your life. Listen tonight, you won't go without eating for 3 or 4 hours. I won't go without eating for 2 hours. Why do we wait so long to get spiritual food? And people say, well, I've got to be in church to get spiritual food. Listen, I thank God for church. I think church is the greatest place that somebody can go to on this side, praise God. I'm thankful for what we can experience in church and what we can have in God's house and things like that. Church cannot be replaced. Thank God for it. But I'm thankful, praise God, that I serve a God that'll feed me spiritual food at the Walmart when I'm searching for real food. I'm thankful that I serve a God that when I'm driving in the car down the road and a good old church song comes on, praise God, I can feel the Holy Spirit in my car and have myself a fit in the vehicle, praise God. Why? Because spiritual manna has fell from on high, hallelujah. Yes, I'm thankful for the spiritual manna that falls in God's house, but I'm thankful for the spiritual manna that falls at home, that falls in the car, that falls at work, that falls at the funeral home, that falls in the hospitals, that falls in the nursing homes. There's a 24/7 all-you-can-eat buffet of spiritual food, praise God. God hadn't closed it, praise God. Go back for second. Go back for third, praise God. I hope we got to expand our waistline for spiritual food. Hallelujah. Lose all the physical weight you want, but praise God, get big for Jesus. Hallelujah. Get you some spiritual food. Yeah, I liked that. That was pretty good. Yeah, that was good. All right. I'm glad we can laugh in God's house too. You'd be shocked how many churches people won't laugh. Man, that's sad. God wants us to laugh. This world's hard enough. I don't want to come to church and sit there and look like I hate somebody. I want to laugh. I want to have a good time. And I'm thankful, praise God, that Dan and Tom and Les give us plenty to laugh about around here, don't they? I'm thankful for it, okay? Thankful for it. We're still on the first verse. I better hurry. And then look what Elijah says to Ahab. For there is a sound of abundance rain. Not just a little bit of rain. Not just a drizzle. Not just a sprinkle. But there was a sound of an abundance of rain. What did that sound represent? You got to remember, these people for 3.5 years have lived in a drought. It has not rained. Elijah was saying, hey, you know what? There's a sound of hope. And then I got to thinking about us as Christians tonight. What are some sounds of hope that we can hear in God's holy word when we read it? Man, there's a sermon in this of itself. But the birth of Christ, when Jesus let out that first cry, man, that was a sound of hope, wasn't it? The heavenly host hanging there on the hillside when Jesus was born. We're getting ready to celebrate that. Man alive, you talk about a sound of hope. Then I got to thinking about this. We don't think about this much. But when Jesus was spit upon, when Jesus was mocked, when Jesus was made fun of, when Jesus was scourged, when the nails were drove through his hand and through his feet, do you know those sounds, as rough and as awful as they were? That nail driving through his hand was a sound of hope. That nail going through his feet was a sound of hope. That crown of thorns being placed upon his head, that was a sound of hope. When Jesus let out with a loud cry at the cross of Calvary and gave up the ghost, he was dead. That was a sound of hope. And then I got to thinking about that tomb, praise God, when that tomb began to rattle, and praise God, and you could hear the rock door of that tomb start to scoot on that ground, the power of God moving it. Bless God, that was a sound of hope. Hallelujah. Sound of hope is when you hear somebody praying for you. Sound of hope is when you hear somebody singing a beautiful song like we've heard this morning and tonight. Sound of hope is when a Christian friend is there to pick you up and encourage you to smile and say, I love you. A sound of hope is when somebody is there to cry with you when you ain't got nobody to cry with you. A sound of hope is when you got a wife that'll get you out of bed and say, Nick, it's time to get back in church. That's a sound of hope. Thank God for the sounds of hope. Thank God for the sounds of hope, bless God. Thank God for the sounds of hope. Then I got to thinking about another sound of hope, praise God, and that's when that trumpet sounds. Glory to God. And you know what? This is going to happen so fast, I guess hope wouldn't even be appropriate, because the Bible says that at the sound of the trumpet, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, praise God, the church is out of here. Hallelujah. One of these days, praise God, we're going to hear the ultimate sound of hope, the trump of God, praise God. And hallelujah, we won't need hope no more, because we'll be living in hope. Hallelujah. Man, sounds of hope. Thank God for the sounds of hope. All right, verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. What was Elijah doing? He was praying. He was getting in one of the most humble positions that anybody could get in. Getting down on his hands and his knees. And he was praying and he was talking with God. How often do you pray tonight? How often do you pray? Now, that's a free question for you to answer and things right there. Listen, if you love your spouse and you enjoy being with your spouse, you're going to communicate with your spouse. If you love your mom and dad and you enjoy being with your mom and dad, you're going to communicate with your mom and dad. If you love your grandparents, you're going to communicate with your grandparents. And I want to say this tonight. I believe, and I'm just up here sharing my heart with you tonight. Dan said I had liberty to share my heart, so that's what I'm going to share. But places where I work, teach, churches that I've been in and things like that, one of the biggest downfalls that businesses have, that marriages have, that friendships have, that churches have, is the communication is non-existent. If you don't have communication within your church, if you don't have communication at your job, if you don't have communication with your family and things like that, nobody knows what's going on, and before you know it, everything's fell apart. It's no different than with God. No different than with God. If I say, well, I'll talk to you 5 or 6 days from now, man, that's an awful place to be in, ain't it? How many times do we cry to God when something's going wrong? All the time. How many times do we cry out to God when everything's going good and just say, God, nothing to ask you for, but I just want to thank you tonight. Praise God for that. We all have a reason to talk to God, whether it be to praise Him, whether it be to ask Him for something. And listen, I'll just be open and honest with you. Now, I love praying and I love talking to God, but I'll tell you right now, one thing that I love on my drive to work is I'll be listening to some music driving up the road and I'll just talk to God driving up the road. And it's like He's having a conversation right then and there with me. Now, sometimes God waits and He'll answer a little bit later on in life. And I'm sure people look at me like I'm crazy, saying, who in the world is that man talking to? Praise God, I'm talking to God. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. How thankful that we should be any time we get an opportunity to pray and talk to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray and talk to God. Praise God. Be constant. Be earnest in prayer. Approaching the throne of grace boldly. Praise God. God wants to hear from us. Mom and Dad was tickled. I didn't see their. I just texted them, said I'd be speaking tonight. I already knew how they felt. I could feel it coming through the phone. I knew they were happy about it. I also knew if I didn't communicate that to them, this would be my last time ever standing before anybody because I wouldn't be alive. All right? So, let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. And you'll find out something. The more you talk to God, the more you'll want to talk to other people. It's the truth. The more you talk to God, the more you'll want to talk to other people. So Elijah was just communicating with God. That's all prayer is, communicating with God. And that gets us to verse 43. I hope this ain't too long tonight. It's been almost, what, how long, Lene? 8 months? 6 months? 7 months? 6 months. Yeah. You'll be lucky if you get out here by 10 o'clock. What is it they do with them big plays? They call it intermission. Everybody goes and gets coffee and juice. We could call it intermission, but the problem is nobody come back. All right, verse 43. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. That's why God laid this message on my heart and on my mind. There was a time in my life 6 months ago, I just felt nothing. There is nothing. I didn't feel love. I didn't feel hope. I didn't feel encouragement. I didn't feel anything. I just felt nothing. I was just dead to the world. And I'm not ashamed to share that with you tonight because I think if we live in this life long enough, we all probably go through some moments like that. Amen. Where we just don't feel nothing. So I'm not saying this about me. It is something about me that hopefully that you can use for yourself and apply to your life. But there's been times in my life, especially 6 months ago, I just felt absolutely nothing. I think we all can reflect in our lives tonight and say, man, I felt absolutely nothing. So this servant went up and looked, and he came back to Elijah. And I could see this servant looking at Elijah, and I don't know who this servant is. I've read many different opinions on who this servant is, but I'm not going to speculate because God's Word hasn't given this servant a name, so I'm not going to give him a name tonight. But I could see this servant back to Elijah and saying, there's nothing. No rain's coming. There's no cloud. Not even a little cloud. Not even a dark cloud. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing out there. And what did Elijah say? And he said, go again 7 times. Then that got me to thinking about something. Those times in life when you feel absolutely nothing. And you go that first time and there's still absolutely nothing. Go again. When you got nothing in your life and you feel like there's no hope and you come to church and you're like, man, I just didn't feel anything, you know what? Go again. Amen. When you say that prayer and it felt like it didn't make it 3 inches above your mouth and you know what you need to do? Go again. You go up in the choir and you say, man, I just don't enjoy singing in the choir like I used to. Listen, the devil wants you to give up. That's what the devil wanted Nick and Lene Kaulbach to give up. The devil wants you to give up, but praise God, go again. Hallelujah. The devil tells you to stop preaching and things like that. Don't ever preach and proclaim the word of God again because you're not good enough. Praise God, go again. Praise God, go again. Now it's personal to me tonight, go again. But any time the devil is fighting you and you feel absolutely nothing and you feel hopeless, keep going and keep going and keep going. And one day, praise God, the dam is going to burst open. The dam is going to burst open, praise God. When Butler was flooded, hallelujah, all of it was gone just like that. Well, one day, praise God, your life of nothingness, that dam is going to burst open because you just went again. You win again, and you win again, and you win again. And then you begin to realize the reason you felt like nothing was because you were within yourself. But when you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep giving a little bit to Jesus, and a little bit to Jesus each and every time, and by the time you get to that fifth time, or that fourth time, or that third time, or that seventh time that's right here, and it's all been given to God, praise God. Then it burst open just like that. That feeling of nothingness is gone. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and the Bible says this is a little cloud. And you know, and listen, there's great, I love the Bible, I love the Word of God, but sometimes we get so focused on the big and deeper meaning, sometimes we just need to focus on something right here. This is just a little bitty cloud. That's all it is, a little bitty cloud. It's not raining 3.5 years. What's that little bitty cloud going to do? Send a sprinkle over a little section on Stony Creek. We live up the creek. It can rain up the creek and not rain down the creek. Or it can rain down the creek and not rain up the creek. So that I could just see him at this little... Well, Josephus down there may get some rain, but Abner up here ain't going to get no rain. I just made those names up. I don't know, okay? Josephus may get some rain, but Abner ain't going to get no rain. What do you think about if we had a son naming him Abner, Lene? We're not having any more kids, okay? All right. Little cloud. Then it reminded me of that verse. Little as much when God is in it. Man alive, started off with a little cloud. Then look at what this little cloud becomes. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, I love his part right here. Again, he's talking to his enemy. Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. He's telling Ahab, Ahab, it's getting ready to come a gully washer, and you better get out of here. Stop eating and stop drinking. I know it's not rained in 3.5 years, but you better get on your horse, you better get on your chariot, and you better return back to Jezreel, because if you stay up here, you ain't going to make it, because there's a flood coming, there's a rain coming, an abundance of rain. And pray that it don't stop you not. And then in verse 45, we see what this little cloud turned into. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black. I believe, and I don't know if this was nighttime or daytime or not. I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. You're going to find that out that I'm not very smart. But I believe if it was daytime, I think the sky was so black that it looked dark outside. That's how black I think the rain clouds were. And wind. And there was a great rain. Not a sprinkle. Not a drizzle. A great, great rain. Go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. It may start out as a sprinkle. It may increase to a drizzle. It may increase to a light rain. But if you keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, praise God, it will turn into a great rain. A shower of blessings on your life. Praise God. How thankful we can be. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And this is my favorite part of this whole story. Verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Ahab had a head start. Now, I don't know how long of a head start that he had, but Ahab had a head start. And that got me to thinking about something. How many times do the enemies in our life feel like they got a head start? How many times do the enemies in our life feel like that they've got a head start? They're two steps ahead or something like that. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. The devil may think that he's two steps ahead, but he's about 5,000 steps behind God. He may be ahead of you. He may be outthinking you. And he may be outwitting you. But praise God, turn it over to God, because Satan's already been defeated and the victory has been won through Jesus Christ. Ahab had a head start to the city of Jezreel, but the hand of God was on Elijah, and Elijah was faster than the horses, was faster than the chariot, was faster than Ahab, and he beat Ahab to Jezreel. Imagine, this is just how I visualize it. I can see Ahab propped up, or Elijah propped up there on the gate eating an apple, right when Ahab came in on that chariot. What took you so long, man? What took you so long? But there's a deeper meaning behind that. When a king was coming into town, when a political leader was coming into town, they always came in first. Nobody went in before the king. The big picture right here is Ahab may have had the political title of king, but Elijah had the hand of God on him. What God was saying to Elijah, what he was saying was, hey, I'm going to let you go in before the physical king of this kingdom, because you're my servant. You're serving me. You're worshiping me. You're one of my major prophets. And you know what? For standing for me when everybody was against me, I'm going to let you go in before the king gets there. And you're going to beat him, even though he's got a 10-minute head start. Listen, Ahab was one of Elijah's greatest enemies, but God took care of him. The drought was over. The rain came. If you have experienced a spiritual drought tonight, or any type of drought in your life, that drought could be worry, that drought could be fear, that drought could be anxiety, that drought can be depression, that drought could be financial troubles. I don't know your hearts tonight. God knows that. I'm not going to act like I do know your hearts, because I don't. I want you to know this. Go again, go again, go again, go again. And before you know it, there'll be a little cloud in the sky. And that little cloud will turn into a storm. And before you know it, God will send an abundance of rain. And you'll be able to shout from the mountaintop, the drought is over. The drought is over. Let's stand to our feet. Dan, I'm going to turn it back over to you. You can come on up here, or do you want me to dismiss in prayer, or what do you want me to do?
I'd like to stand with you.
Okay. Love you.
Love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey. God's good.
Can I say something real quick?
Oh, Lord, say it.
I forgot. It's just 6:52. Just to give you a little history, I've actually known this church a good chunk of my life. Dan was on the ordaining council when I announced the calling to preach. And I can't remember if it was when I got my license or when I was meeting to get ordained, but we met over here in your fellowship hall.
Sure did.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember
that. And Papaw brought me. And I remember exactly where we was parked out there. So this church, even though you've not known me a long time, and I've not known you all a long time, it's been a special place in my heart for that reason. So I love you all. And thank you for how well you have treated my family. You've treated us so great. My kids love it here. After the first time here, they was all about Jesse. And Les, what Les's wife's name, what's your name? Jackie. Yeah. Nick and Lene, don't, Mom and Dad mean nothing now.
Are you about to choke yourself?
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, wow. Love will do that, you know.
It will.
It will.
It will.
It will, son. We love you.
Love you.
Love you, family. God is so good. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the message. So you go home thinking about it, okay? And tomorrow when you get up, you think about it. And if you've gone through any of these things he's talking about, remember the rain's there. It's, you may not see it now, but it's there. Well, I like that part about continuing.
Yeah, that was good.
That
comes from God. I ain't smart enough for that. That's all God.
Well, buddy, is it okay with you if I use it sometime?
Why, yeah. Well, every time you preach, I take notes. I'm just going to reuse them.
I'll let Nick go out to the vestibule there, and when you go out, let him know what a blessing he's been to us tonight. Would you do that? Because this has been, you don't know it, but this has been a blessing.
I hope so.
It has, yeah. Let's bow our heads, please. And again, I want to invite you who aren't regular here to come Tuesday night, and let's have a Thanksgiving service together. Would you do that? 6 o'clock, yeah, 6 o'clock. And this would be one of the things I'd be thanking God for Tuesday night, was this day and this message tonight from the Lord. Really, from the Lord. Brother Ray, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer, sir? Amen.